Blog Talk Radio.
But we are making a stand, and we're waking everybody up that 9/11 was an inside job. And you are the minority. You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children. Not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people right here in this nation. You serve a new world order that attacks and feeds on you. And I'm here to tell you that you will be defeated. Your hours are numbered. We've got the energy. We've got the life force. All you've got is evil backing you up. All you've got is greed and liking to look at yourself in the mirror. Because deep down, the New World Order is a pot-bellied, chicken-necked ninny. And all the armor and all the weapons are nothing. You are nothing compared to good. You are nothing compared to life. And you will be defeated. I want the individuals out there, I want free humanity to turn themselves loose, to cut the chains loose, and to use the end of that chain to slap the New World Order right upside the head. You've got the power. You want to know who can defeat the New World Order? It is you. You're the individuals that are going to be able to defeat this system. You're the individuals that are going to be able to take down the New World Order. It doesn't matter if Ron Paul wins. It doesn't matter if they rig.
Renewed hostile actions against United States ships on the high seas in the Gulf of Tonkin have today required me to order the military forces of the United States to take action in reply.
Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
Senator Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible?
He still has the gun. The gun is pointed at me at this moment.
People calling themselves members of the Weather Underground last night planted bombs in federal office buildings in Washington and Oakland, California.
They took the babies out of incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor.
Survivors of the USS Liberty are demanding a congressional investigation into what happened and acknowledgement that the Israeli Air Force bombed a U.S. intelligence Navy ship.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
The Taliban is taking responsibility for shooting down a U.S. helicopter. More than 30 people were killed, and there are reports this morning that most of them are U.S. Navy SEALs.
There may be a false flag incident where a ship goes down and you can be used for the excuse to accelerate the next war.
If there's one thing that has unified Democrats and Republicans, and everybody in between, that we all hated the bank bailout.
The Department of Homeland Security is apparently on a huge ammo buying spree.
It comes out to like 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition.
Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people.
They estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
From the front lines of the information war.
It's me, Joseph Gibson, on Blog Talk Radio. Understanding the times in which we live in today. Okay, broadcasting from Greensboro, North Carolina, 6:04 p.m. on the East Coast. Happy New Year to everybody. 2017 has been ushered in. And what muck or what chaos will we receive this year? How was 2016 to you? Does any of you have a New Year's resolution? I heard something pretty funny, actually, on the radio. Someone had a New Year's resolution. I forget where it came from or how it came to be, but I laughed at it when I heard the end of it. The New Year's resolution was that they hope Obama comes down with mad cow disease and Michelle Obama moves to Zimbabwe and lives with a monkey. That was a good one. I heard, actually heard that on, I think it was on the Glenn Beck show, actually. That was funny. Michelle Obama moves to Zimbabwe and lives with a monkey, and Obama comes down with mad cow disease. Amen. Whoever thought of that one? Amen. Let me tell you, because Obama, you are a scumbag. You are a criminal, and God bless the nation for getting the hell rid of you while we can, and we're still alive and in control still today. And that's where I'm getting at. I want everyone, if people want to call in tonight, I want to get your predictions. I mean, I'm not trying to say people, I'm not trying to put people on the spot and say, hey, tell me what you think's going to happen or you know is going to happen, but what do you believe or want to happen in the year 2017? Now, you know, we can call Dr. Ventura and, you know, and we'll get him on here and he'll give us his long-winded explanation on how the Lord is going to return and all that nonsense. But look, I remember being a child and the Lord, you know, reading a sign in, on Center Street in Wallingford, coming back from school saying, Jesus is coming back today. And still yet, but give me all your money, you know. And I'm not saying I'm a Bible believer. I don't want anyone to, you know, I do believe in the Bible, and I do believe that the God's word is true. I just believe man has perverted the word of God. People like Dr. Ventura. I'm not saying Dr. Ventura himself has done that. I believe he's playing games, and he shouldn't be with the word of God. And what, that's all I'm trying to say. But we're not going to get into a religious program tonight. I just wanted to put that out there for anyone, you know, for what they're, whatever it's worth. But I want people to call in tonight and press the number one on your call phone and actually say or hope what you want 2017 to be. Now, listen, we all know. Tomorrow's not promised to us. Tomorrow is never promised, okay? Maybe 30 days from now, something could happen to me and I would die. Or some, maybe your mother, maybe your father, maybe your uncle, maybe your brother, maybe your sister, maybe an accident, a car accident. Tomorrow is never promised. And what I'm trying to get at is, what do you hope would happen for you in the year 2017? What do you want to see happen in your life? Or what do you want to see happen for your children, your grandchildren, or your friends, family, whatever? And that's what I'm getting at. I want to hear what people have to say. What's your hopes and dreams for the year 2016, we all know what happened, you know, and it's in the past, and we're moving into the future now. The year is now 2017, and last night I watched the ball drop there in Times Square, and I watched everyone dancing on stages and jumping around half naked, and you know, I'm worth it, I'm worth it. The song singing and the women jumping around with their tits hanging out and, you know, the thongs hanging out and their ass shaking. And is that what America is about today? Is that what we're all about? A good time? Well, if that's what it's all about, folks, let me tell you, which I believe that is what it's all about. And that's why you're making $8 an hour. That's why you're making $10 an hour at the job you are. And there's no jobs out there that are paying anything significant anymore today. All your main jobs have been shipped overseas and have been given away to other countries. And Donald Trump has played. Well, we're going to get into politics now, to because this is all going to tie in together what I'm trying to say here. Donald Trump has pledged to make America great again. And his first step before he became president was the carrier industry. I guess they make air conditioners, and they were going to move to Mexico. And he actually made a deal before he was president and told them, look, you move to Mexico, any products you try to sell in the United States, I'm going to put a 35% surtax on you. Yeah, all right, and you're going to have to pay that before you could sell any products in the United States. Damn good idea. Guess what? Carrier is going to keep 1,295 jobs in this country. Okay? They won't move because Donald Trump told them that what he's going to do when he's president. So that is a commander-in-chief, folks. That is what a president is supposed to do. These corporations who are shipping our jobs overseas and across the world, and what have we got? You want to go work at Taco Bell for $7 an hour? You know, you want to go work at McDonald's for $7.50 an hour? You could be manager one day. Whoop-dee-doo. You know, and I believe that's why Donald Trump is really doing a good thing for our country. Now, we also must understand this. Last week, I brought up the fact that should Donald Trump actually be the president of the United States? After all, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, according to your media. According to the polls, she won the popular vote. But Donald Trump won the Electoral College vote. Now, what if the role was reversed? What if, say, Hillary won and Donald Trump won the popular vote and Hillary won the Electoral College? We'd be all screaming on this radio show right now, wouldn't we? So what's right is right. If Hillary did win the popular vote, she should be president of the United States. She should be, according to our republic. But we don't have a republic anymore. And that's what I always talk about, that people just don't get it. They don't understand House Resolution 192. They don't get it. They don't understand it. And I don't understand why. It's not that hard of a read. It's like 2 pages long. You don't have a constitution anymore. There is no more constitution. You are a corporation. And this is my question to you. Walmart is a corporation, correct? When Walmart makes a decision about the stores they're going to build or whatever happens in their store, if they're going to move the produce to the other side of the store or move the grocery section to the other store, what have you, does that affect you? Because you're not a part of the Walmart corporation, okay? Now, the United States is a corporation. So the decisions they make, should they affect you? No, but they do because you're contracted in. You were born, okay, with a birth certificate, with a bank routing number. You have a driver's license, okay? You are contracted in. You have a contract now with this corporation. So when Walmart, let's just say Walmart United States makes a decision, it does affect you. All right? When you buy a house, okay, just say you own it outright, your land. You're given a warranty deed. All right? A warranty deed. That's not a land allodial. Okay? That's not a land patent. You don't own it. That's a warranty deed. And if you look up the definition or what a warranty deed really is, it means you're renting it from something higher, and that's going to be you're a tenant. That's why you pay a property tax, okay? I mean, I could get into this for 2-3 hours, and I'd bore everybody because you wouldn't understand what I'm talking about. But when the light bulb clicks on, you would understand. You need to understand something. And this is why the captain and I have severed ties, the captain, all right? He kicked me off his sports show, all right? It had nothing to do with sports. He kicked me off his radio program one night because he has he's a middle-aged man who is who some whatever, I don't know, Raquel O'Clay or whatever the hell her name was. She was on my Facebook. I deleted her quickly. I guess she was flirting with him, and she was a typical woman running off at the mouth, not knowing what direction she was going to go in. And what I mean by typical woman is she was one of those who wanted to have power and control over something. And I called her out, and I said, I told the captain, she's double-talking, Cap. She's double-talking. She's making a mockery of your show. And he decided that a woman is more important than a friendship or a business relationship. And he kicked me off his program, and he's blocked me, and I blocked him also after that. So the captain has no support of mine, and I'm asking my supporters not to support his show ever again. Okay? For a man to do that, to act like a 16-year-old in high school on a prom date when you're 50 years old is pretty pathetic. And that's what the captain did, all right? And to revert back to the original conversation here, the Constitution, that's what was the topic of his show. And I told him, you don't have a Constitution anymore. You're not under the Constitution. Yes, you have a Constitution, but the corporate United States Corporation doesn't practice the Constitution anymore. And he couldn't understand that. Even though we've done many shows already to try to explain this to people. If you remember, I had guests on from the state of Wisconsin, from the Republic. I had John Ainsworth on this program, Cliff Muncy, and they explained this to you, why you don't have any rights. You don't. You're a slave. You're a corporate slave. You are contracted in to this corporation. They've done it so cleverly. They've done it. They're very clever on how they've done it. First, they confiscated the gold in the 1930s. If anyone's out there who's old enough to remember the gold standard or remember anything about gold or silver or remember the 1930s, gold was confiscated. You were not allowed to barter with gold or silver anymore. It was against the law. And if you had any in your possession, you were committing a crime. Okay? The gold was taken from the people because gold is what? Honest currency. An ounce of gold is an ounce of gold. You can't switch it. You can't change it. An ounce is an ounce. A pound is a pound. Okay, a quarter ounce is a quarter ounce. Okay, gold is gold. Silver is silver. No matter how much it weighs, no matter how you use it, it weighs the same, weights and measures. And the Bible talks about that also, believe it or not. Okay, all right, that's honest money. But you see, gold was confiscated. Therefore, we instituted what? And made our main currency the Federal Reserve note. Now, back then, you still could redeem your Federal Reserve notes for what? Silver. If you remember correctly, a lot of your dollar bills back years and years ago had what? Silver certificate under them. I have some now that I've collected, actually. They're not worth anything. The bank won't honor them. But I've collected them as souvenirs, silver certificate. That means you can walk into a bank and redeem your Federal Reserve notes for silver or gold. Okay? But gold and silver was not a tangible asset that you can barter with back then because it was outlawed. But you could still redeem it at a bank through your Federal Reserve notes, all right? As time went on after World War II, people begin, you know, they forgot about this type of thing. And, you know, we went through the 1960s and the Civil Rights Movement, and they distracted the people with all that other nonsense and the black-white issue and blah, blah, blah. And we got to the 1970s and Richard Nixon, what did he do? He abandoned the gold standard. So therefore, your silver certificates and the gold standard was there rebuked. And as my Aunt Jeannie says, banished. It was banished. So therefore, now you have what? A Federal Reserve note that is worth nothing. It's a piece of paper. But the United States corporate government says you must trade and buy and sell with these pieces of paper that are called Federal Reserve notes. They're not worth anything. They're nothing. They're pieces of paper. But we fight for it, we'll kill for it, and we want it. All right? But they're not worth anything. Because at any time, the United States corporate government could say, guess what? They're no longer worth anything anymore. What will you do? Do you have any tangible assets? Do you have solid physical tangible assets? No. Because remember, gold and silver has been outlawed. You cannot barter with that. And people are saying, what are you talking about? What the hell are you talking about? Listen, the United States Constitution states very clearly, the only thing you could buy and sell with is gold and silver. Then why are we not trading with gold and silver today? Because you don't have a United States Constitution anymore. Makes sense, doesn't it? Oh, that's why. So what I just told you earlier, that you don't have a constitution anymore, now you see? Now do you see? Some people don't still get it. And if you have any questions, you can call in at 657-383-0616, press the number 1, and ask me a question. I will be more than happy to answer that question for you. And I'm asking my supporters tonight, some of you may not be able to talk. I cannot see my chat room for some reason. There's a few people in the chat room tonight. Actually, there's a lot of interesting conversations going on in the chat room. Let's see. I Am the Universe there is typed to a lot of interesting comments here in the chat room. People need to pay attention to what he's saying. That's very good. I wish he or she would call in. But and I would sure like someone to press number 1 tonight and contribute to this conversation somehow, some way. And finally, I got a supporter here who's going to take the courage to get into this conversation, because we're talking about money, and money is very important. Excuse me. I've been talking about a few things actually tonight, but I want to thank a couple people that tuned in tonight before I get to my first caller. Joe in Sebastian, Florida, you tuned in tonight. Thank you very much. Deborah Lewis, I know you're probably at work. You probably can't tune in. You probably can't press 1, but you're listening. Thank you very much. Elizabeth Rondo, you're tuned in. Thank you very much. My friend in Nevada is listening tonight. Actually, he sent me an email. He can't talk, but he's listening. All right. My friend in Nevada, thank you. Elizabeth Rondo, thank you for listening. Mike out Wisconsin is listening. All right. Bridget's listening. Okay, I've got 2 other unknown callers here. 3, actually. All right. Well, thank you for listening live on the phones. It's important to know this, that there's an audience out there. I asked my brother Jason to listen, but he's going out to dinner tonight. Going out to dinner, but he's broke. let's not beat a dead horse. All right, anyway, Go ahead, Bitbanker. Go ahead. How you doing?
Good evening. Good evening. I'm doing fine for the first day of a new year. That was a decent opening regarding your House Resolution 192, which I think, if I'm not correct, was post the Federal Reserve Act of 1933. Federal Reserve Act is when they
That's
got
correct.
The Federal Reserve in, the Federal Reserve Act, right, is when they got the Federal Reserve involved in everything. And that House Resolution 192 of 1933, off of memory, has a lot of interesting tidbits in it, including the fact that you're no longer responsible for any of your debts. They've all been paid. And
correct.
Like you mentioned with your birth, like you mentioned, when you have a child born, you assign that birth certificate to the government, and that's who owns your child from that time forward. But there is a provision in that House resolution where you can petition the government with paperwork indicating that you wish to be responsible for all your future debts and so on and so forth. And I don't know what happens, as I've never done it as far as I know. And I guess then you're a sovereign individual, I would assume. And I think that's where these people are going with their I'm going to drive without a driver's license because I'm a sovereign individual. And I've always said I do believe that you're right and you can drive without a driver's license. But you know what? When you're pulled over, you're arrested, and you're thrown in jail, who are you going to argue with? You can't fight these people. I've already mentioned many times that these politicians are all crooks, and you can't trust them all. Just look what they've done to you with the Federal Reserve Act and House Resolution 192. Everyone thinks when they have a child born, that's their son. No, it's not. Not anymore. That's not your daughter. Not anymore. You're dealing with Federal Reserve notes. Those are legal tender to pay your debts, to discharge your debts. That's all it's for. And you really have no debts according to the rules of 1933. The government has taken everything on its shoulders for you. And, of course, as American people, we don't believe in that. We believe in the Constitution, and we believe in doing things right, and we believe in paying our debts. And it's probably a good thing we do, because if we didn't, we'd be in one hell of a mess, thanks to the politicians. And maybe that's how they're getting all that money. Maybe that's how they're getting money to tie goats to radiators, to buy $175 million condominiums, to fly around the world 17 times a year. Maybe they know something we don't. I'll turn it back to you for a while.
Well, that's you're absolutely correct. You know, the Federal Reserve, you know, the Federal Reserve Act actually bankrupted this country. Well, they did it after about 20 years. And there's people typing in the chat room. I want to give kudos to the username, I Am the Universe, and there's about seven guests, and I see Bitbanker, you're in there, and I'm in there. I think Bridget's in there also. So the chat room, I appreciate it. I can't always, you know, pay attention to it, because I got to watch the call screen also. But, you know, Bitbanker, is it not wise to invest your money in gold and silver at this time when we know the economy is so – look, the Fed just raised the interest rate. Is it not wise to invest your money in gold and silver?
Well, you know, what do they say the unemployment rate is now, 9%? I don't know. That's because, you know, the unemployment rate is probably closer to 30%. It's because it's the way they compile their facts. You know, if you want the unemployment rate to be 9%, all you got to do is look at the facts, change the facts, and you can fool everybody. You can't believe what these politicians tell you. You can't believe the numbers they're putting out because they twist everything for their favor and not yours. Is it wise to invest in gold and silver? It's wise to invest in anything of intrinsic value. It's intrinsic value.
But wait a second, Bitbanker, hang on. You know my situation. I at one time had about $20,000 in Federal Reserve notes. I took about half of that, and I invested in gold. All right. At that time, gold was $1,692, I believe. Not, don't quote me for sure, but it was around that. And we know gold was jumping up. It was going up and up and up, and now it's stabilized, and now it's actually going down. But they're talking about it going up to $2,000 or $3,000 an ounce. Look, I took half the money I had at that time and invested it in gold. Was that a wise decision? Or does anyone think that was a wise decision to have something intrinsic value? Because gold is what? It's a tangible asset. You can't adjust, you know, it's there. It's never going away. Nobody can take it from you. It's there, you know, and you can always barter with it. Now, I know you said you can't take an ounce of gold to the grocery store and buy a loaf of bread. No. That's not how it works when you invest in gold. You can divide it up into gold eagles. You know, you don't have to go with an ounce of gold shopping. You know, it could be divided up and divvied up to lower denominations of gold. But the gold is gold, and you're still going to have the same amount. It's not like Federal Reserve notes. I mean, if I'm wrong, someone correct me. But from what I understand, I believe that's a smart investment. But go ahead, Ben Panker.
Well, we're talking about investing in gold and silver and 2x4s, aluminum cans, old newspapers, anything of value. People like us, or I'll speak for myself and maybe a couple others on the call, can't afford to put our life savings that we've put sweat and labor to accumulate into gold because we can't wait the time for it to rise in price. Gold is always going to $2,000 an ounce. It's going to $3,000 and $5,000 and $6,000 and $10,000. Now, if you want to invest in gold and invest a portion of your money into gold and sit on it for a decade, 2 decades, 5 decades, good for you. Good for you. You're right. You might always have something. But again, you have to remember, these people are smarter than you. They know you're investing in gold. So they're going to make sure that they get the better end of the deal. They're going to find some way for you to cash it in or not get the profits you want. Now, if you could do something to make an income without your work, sweat, and labor, for instance, interest maybe, and invest the interest in something, then you really have nothing to lose. Because I think Benjamin Franklin said the most powerful thing in this universe is compound interest. The interest you're going to get for free. You have no energy or effort put into it. It came to you, and you're investing in something else that you can let sit there for your children, for your grandchildren, for whoever. And the same could be said basically for, like I said, aluminum cans. You can melt down aluminum cans because they're always going to be worth something. And anybody can do that. 2x4s, wood, and so on and so forth. It doesn't have to be gold.
Yeah, all right. But to the people out there, Bitbanker, hang on. To the people out there who are dealing with 40-hour work weeks that are working for these Federal Reserve notes, you know what you're talking about right now? Blah, 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 blah. They don't understand that. They don't get it. They don't understand tangible assets. You know, they get it, but they say, I don't have time to melt down aluminum cans. I don't have time to collect scrap metal. I'm working 40, 50, 60 hours a week for my Federal Reserve notes that are going to be worth nothing one day. And that's what I'm trying to alert people to. But your idea is correct. They need to wake up to your idea, but they don't get it. And I'm trying to make people understand they need to get it. They need to understand. You've got to have something to barter with when the economy does tank and crash or goes to a digitized currency. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, everyone. India is already going to a digitized currency. So is Australia. You can look it up on the internet. This isn't breaking news. All right? I mean, well, it is to you if you never heard it, but they're going to no more paper money. That means digits, folks. And now, what do you do if you don't have any digits? You know, what if you don't want to cooperate with the bankers? You need tangible assets to barter with and survive. Because everyone wants what? Everyone wants gold and silver. Everyone wants tobacco. Everyone wants alcohol. You know, you got to have something to barter with. You know, and that's what we're getting at here, Bitbanker. And I've got my next caller here. He wants to jump in the conversation, so I'll let him. But Bitbanker, hold that thought. And so we can get a panel going here, maybe. I've been wanting to do this for a while. And hopefully, I think this is Mike. Mike out in Wisconsin. Go ahead. Welcome to the program. It's been a while.
Well, good evening. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
You know, thank you. In my opinion, I'd rather have 1,000 pounds of wheat or 1,000 pounds of flour or 1,000 pounds of you know, rice than, you know, 10 pounds of gold. Because, you know, you're going to, when the time comes that when people ravish the grocery stores like they do, you know, especially like when there's a hurricane and things like that, I mean, the shelves are bare.
Or even during the holidays, Mike. Even during the holidays, Mike. They run to the grocery stores. Did you see that? I saw that this year during the holiday season, my local grocery store. Everyone ran to the grocery store. It's like it's a last-minute thing. And it's so stupid. You know, you knew New Year's was coming. You knew Christmas was coming. You know?
It's because people don't carry more than 2 or 3 days of food in the refrigerator or freezer, you know?
True.
And, you know, if
very true.
My wife and I had to, you know, count on the grocery stores supplying us with food, you know, we'd be fine. And, you know, so would my father. You know, he's got food put away for times that, you know, that he would need it for. But the majority of people out there, you know, they think they're going to, you know, off to McDonald's or, you know, or something of that sort. And, you know, when things get really tough, okay, the like you said, Joe, the currency isn't worth anything. You know, like my brother Joey says, you know, how are you going to barter with, you know, 10 ounces of gold? You know, that's $10,000. I mean, you know, you need a loaf of bread, a gallon of milk, and, you know, a couple cans of soup. And you got $10,000 in your hand.
Mike, we get back to the people in the chat room also. You're right. But that's not true. If I have say $10,000 worth of gold, okay, it doesn't mean I'm going with ounces of gold to the grocery store. It can be bartered up or divided up into gold eagles, gold coins, you know. I mean, gold is – what I'm just trying to say is silver and gold is weighted value. You can't adjust it. There's no – it ain't worth anything. It has intrinsic value. And that means if I have 2 gold coins in my pocket and everyone's at the grocery store and they say, well, I've got – 2 pounds of metal, I got 3 pounds of copper, and I walk in the line. We're just taking a hypothetical situation here, you know, and I need those 2 ounces, I need those 2 loaves of bread. Well, I've got a gold coin here. What do you think the clerk at that store is going to take? They're going to take that gold coin because gold and silver have more intrinsic value than anything else. And the people in the chat room, the gentleman that's been typing here about the Federal Reserve is absolutely correct. The Federal Reserve has monopolized our currency. They hijacked our country back in the year 1910, and we've been bought and sold for so many years, but the Americans have to have something to barter with. We, the people, have to have something to barter with, and we're law-abiding citizens. I mean, it's illegal, even though Let me just throw this at you, Mike, real quick. Let me just throw this at you for everyone out there. The Constitution says gold and silver is our currency. Now, I walk into a gas station and I want 10 gallons of gas. And I say, here is 2 gold coins that equal 10 gallons of gas. I put it on the table. The clerk's going to look at me like I'm an alien. And she's going to say, I can't accept that. But the Constitution says you have to. And now she called the Sheriff's Department. And the Sheriff's Department's going to come, and they're going to put me in handcuffs and drive me off to jail like a Looney Tune. But the Constitution says this. It says this is what I have to pay with. And that gets back to point number one. There is no more Constitution, folks. You have no Constitution. Now, Mike, what's your thought on that, what I just said?
I agree with you to a point. But, you know, the only thing is, if you were the only person in that store, you know, competing for that loaf of bread, you know, of course, you know, the clerk is going to take you. But you're going to have 50 people wanting those two loaves of bread, okay? And what I'm trying to say
is... Yeah, but Mike, what's the Constitution say? The Constitution says gold and silver is our currency, brother. You know? I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
Doesn't it say coin as well, not paper notes?
That's right, coins. Yes, coins. Coined gold and silver. That's what the Constitution says in Article 1. All right, gold and silver is our legal tender. That's what the United States Constitution says. Coin, you're right. You're absolutely right, Bitbanker. Not paper, not fake paper money that says this is a Federal Reserve note, and this is what we're to use. But what Bitbanker brought up, Mike, before I let you carry on, was a very important point. House Resolution 192. Folks, instead of going on Facebook tonight, typing in OMG, my eyebrows were cut tonight, or OMG, I had to use the bathroom twice, look up House Resolution 192. You're going to learn a lot, folks. You know, but go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
Well, and you know, I guess I'm not comparing it to the same way you are. You know, if you know, all of a sudden, if these hard times hit the United States and there's no grocery store, have any food anymore, you know, and, you know, the gas stations are all down and everything, I guess it doesn't matter what you have, you know, you're not going to be getting that type of a product. But like I stated at the beginning of my conversation, if I had 1,000 pounds of flour or 1,000 pounds of lentils or what have you, whatever, you know, you want to say it, you'd have, I mean, I probably could get a lot more substantial food with a bartering system that way than I would with gold, because the system isn't worth anything. If you give me an ounce of gold and I can't turn it in, or I can't use it, basically. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying?
No, I understand, Mike. I understand what you're saying. I agree.
Let me throw something out there. See, Mike is more along the lines of the way it's going to be. He's going to have 1,000 pounds of wheat and 1,000 pounds of flour. What I've done is I've saved every pre-1982 copper penny that I can. And as of today, or as of recently, they're worth 3.2 cents, 320% more. And that didn't take me any effort at all. And if they do away with the pennies, then it's legal for me to melt them down and make them into bolts in my garage, or make them into wire or whatever, so that I can go rewire Mike's tractor and he can give me 100 pounds of flour. And you said it when you're at the counter. You're going to pay with gold or silver, and they're going to look at you like you're nuts. Or who wants more? Who doesn't want gold or silver? Because they want it because it looks pretty. Gold you can use for jewelry and limited electronics. Silver can be used for lots of other purposes, copper and aluminum as well. And the average person who works a 40-hour week, like you said, is more apt to just throw a copper penny in a bucket or an aluminum can than to buy a Cougar Rand. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, and I guess what I'm trying to get at is, just like the older generation, you know, they always save what they call for a rainy day. You know, ask Betty up there in Connecticut, you know, when they got their paychecks, or when they, you know, did they run out to the bar and spend it all that night? No, I don't think so. You know, but this generation does. You know,
and I agree, Mike. Good point. Good point.
The sad thing is, you know, with the the person we have running the country now, you know, I am very glad we're getting rid of him. I mean, he has done nothing but destroy this country time and time and time again. And now he's picking on the one ally that we have in the Middle East that gives us
Israel.
The foothold.
Israel.
Yeah, that gives us the foothold that we need to basically,
biblical prophecy, Mike. Biblical prophecy is being fulfilled. Every country, every land will abandon the country of Israel before the Red Army invades from the north. And that's what the Bible says. Who is the Red Army, Mike? Syria is red. Russia is red, aren't they? The red flag, right? Russia is red. And the Bible says the Red Army will invade from the north. And then God will intervene and stop it. But people will say, no, it wasn't God. It was this man who saved us. And who is this man? We don't know yet. And that's going to be your Antichrist right there. You're seeing it fulfilled right before your very eyes. All you got to do is read the Bible. I mean, the whole damn history is being written right before you, before your very eyes. Mike, great point. Israel, you brought that up. Who, you know, they just passed the UN bill that any business that does business with Israel is going to be blacklisted from around the world, according to the United Nations security resolution they just passed, and Obama signed off on it. Obama is an antichrist himself. There are many antichrists, like the Bible says. He's one of them. Good point, Mike. Obama is a disgusting creature that has really brought this country to almost its knees. That's a good point, Mike. But go ahead. I just wanted to clarify that and let everyone know what Mike is trying to say. And I wanted to put a little biblical stuff in there. But, Mike, good point.
Well, just getting back to the topic that you're talking about, too. I'm not saying anything that, you know, dairy farmers or beef farmers or any of the chicken farmers. I mean, you know, if I have 1,000 chickens and there's no food in the grocery stores, what are you going to give me for a chicken? I don't want that piece of gold. I can't eat it. It won't feed my kid. You know?
I want to thank a couple other people. We got about 5 guests in the chat room. Flycatch is in the chat room, and I know he or she, I don't know, they never called in. But welcome into the chat room, and I am the universe, the call name there, has made a lot of great points. So thank you very much for being in the chat room. Bridget Pruitt for being in the chat room. Fit Bankers in the chat room. I just want to listen. All the listeners are very important. Nobody's ignored on this program. And if you want to hear your voice on this program, all you got to do is call in 657-383-0616, and I will get you live on the air. But, Mike, go ahead. Finish your point. We still got 40 minutes left. Maybe Joe and Smash in Florida wants to chip in. I don't know. Talk about gold and silver. Gold and silver. He seems, from what I know, an expert on gold and silver. But I did take some money and invested in gold, and that's what I did do. I took half the money I had and put it into gold. Now, the company I invested in, if I cash it in, if it's lower than the value of the price that I purchased it at, fines me. Okay, they fine me $595. So we all know gold is going to rise again in price. An idiot would know that. So why not just let it sit there? I'm not going to pay a penalty to cash in my gold. I'd rather wait till it gets to $2,000 an ounce, and I bet you it'll be $3,000 an ounce by next year. I'm telling you right now. But anyway,
Let's see. I'm checking the call line here to see if anyone else is in there. No, we don't. So, Mike, you still got the floor, and so does Bitbanker. Go ahead.
You know, I would like, I'd like someone to talk about, you know, since I wasn't alive at this time, about the Great Depression. I guess that's the only thing you could really judge against what we're talking about. You know, where people are standing in line for a loaf of bread or a can of soup or, you know, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? My dad went through that. And, you know, Betty up in Connecticut, she went through that. You know, we did not. Us as our generation, you know, we did not go through that. And, you know, I guess, you know, you go to the store and you expect it to be there. And just think that, think the next time you go, the store is closed. You know, and you can't.
Or everything you want to shop for is not there. That's a great point, Mike. That's a great point. And, Mike, you're a former dairy farmer out in the state of Wisconsin. I'm down here in Greensboro, North Carolina. And you're a former dairy farmer. So you know about this type of thing. I mean, that's a great point to make. Continue, please, please. That's a great point.
Well, I mean, and just like my brother Joey has said, you know, you don't have to stockpile gold and silver, cougarons and, you know, stuff like that. You know, the simple metals that you get every day, like he says, pennies or tin cans, aluminum cans, you know, things of that nature. I guess you could barter with that. I mean, if it, you know, it'd probably be easier to than with a piece of gold. But I don't know. You know, what we're talking about. You know, if we had another 4 years of this banana head, we might.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're dancing around what it's all about. And we haven't come down to the conclusion on what it actually is. But, Mike, you're very close. You see, you want to be self-reliant. And Joe wants to invest, hoping that the price goes up. And what we're talking about here is collecting pennies, which give you 320% profit right off the bat, collecting nickels, which are also profitable for metal, collecting aluminum cans, which are also profitable, and being able to make your own food from the things that you grow or save. Then, if you can be self-reliant and you know how to make a loaf of bread with two hands, not an electric mixer, with your two hands, or how to make an apple pie by going out to the tree and picking the apples and baking it using wood or coal, or growing your own fruits and vegetables and berries and such, then all this scare tactic really doesn't matter to those kind of people, because we're going to get by somehow. Because over the years, we saved those pennies, we saved those nickels, we saved those cans. We know how to melt them down, make molds, make the parts we need, and go out and pick our berries and preserve them for next year. So, as far as investing in gold, I think it's a good thing to do. But for people like us, we can't afford to invest very much of what we have in it,
all
because
right,
we never
banker,
know what
on.
The outcome
Bit
is going to
all
be.
Right. I agree, Bitbanker. But hang on, there's people in the chat room here conversating, and you know, I have to address them, and I don't know what their point is here about, let's see here, I'm trying to get to the beginning here about Muslims. If we want to get to a Muslim conversation, we can. Do you want me to post the interview he had with, where he admitted to being a Muslim? I don't know what Flycatch is talking about there, but
I think Obama admitted to being a Muslim at one time, but that's just off the top of my head.
Oh, okay. I'm just trying to, you know, pay attention to people in the chat room. You're right. Maybe and Obama is. We forgot. Say, just look at his name, Barack Obama. You know, from Kenya. And Flycatch. And I just want you to let you know, Muslims are not the issue. Actually, I am the universe. They are, technically.
I know you posted a lot of good things in the chat room, but I'm going to disagree with you. Muslims are the issue here. They are, they really have, Muslims certainly did not get NORAD to shut down. Okay, all right. We know 9/11 was an inside job. Okay, I understand that. But, you know, the irate and ignorant Muslims who believe, you know, I've studied Islam. I've read the Quran, you know, and you're an infidel if you don't believe in their ways. I mean, I would love to have a conversation with you on this. I disagree with you about the Muslim situation. Muslims are a threat to the security and safety of the United States and global community, actually. I don't care about what happens in Europe. I care about what happens in the United States. The United States is didn't say it was an inside job. Well, I do. I believe the whatever inside job is. Inside job means I believe that the 9/11 was an inside job. I believe the United States promulgated that attack on the Twin Towers to put forward their agenda to progress a new world order. Okay? And if you listen to my opening, I'm a supporter of the Alex Jones show. Excuse me. I used his opening in the beginning, and I believe Muslims were puppets used by the United States government. And we can get into that in the future if you want. We could do a whole show on that. Let's see. Disagree is fine. Expected. Well, yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. I am the universe. He's in the chat room. Flycatch is in the chat room. Hey, look, I'm just trying to give you guys your props, you know. You're in the chat room typing. I want you to be heard live on the air. That's all I'm doing, all right? It all comes down to control. But, all right, okay. I understand. You know, I'm just trying to give you guys your voice because we got a lot of people in the chat room. You know, we go from 10 to 20 to 12 to 13, and there's people in the chat room, and you need to be heard. And there's people live on the line. And I do have BitBanker, and I got Mike from the state of Wisconsin. I got BitBanker in the state of Connecticut. I'm down here in Greensboro, North Carolina. The show, like I said, this is what the show is about, understanding the times in which we live in today. And I want everyone to get a voice. I really do. But, Mike, so far, we're going to start getting ready to wrap it up unless someone else calls in and gives me a live voice. Mike, where do we go from here with the show? I'm trying to get someone here. Terry LaPointe sent me a message, and this is off the subject, guys, and you two in the chat room, people. Terry LaPointe sent me a message where a family was raided by the police and their children were taken by the police. I'm looking into it, but I'd like to get that family as a guest on the program, possibly for Thursday. You know, tyranny has no foothold when it comes to this program, and we will address tyranny. So I just want to let everyone know I'm trying to get some good people here as guests on the program. Mike, go ahead, give me your opinion. And I know we had some disagreements about Jeannie, your sister, on the program. I don't know if we had disagreements, actually. I just think that what happened was wrong, and Jeannie is nowhere to be found again. And we're trying to get her back on the program, Mike, because I believe she could really be a part of the panel. I really do. And I would welcome her on the panel if she can dedicate at least one day a week on this program. And I talked about this last week. If I'm not going to get support from my own family on this program, there's no point to continue on with this show. And BitBanker agrees with me. Mike, what's your opinion?
I agree with you too in that aspect. You know, Joey, you're never gonna get people to be, you know, 100% committed. It's just like Jason has something to do tonight. You know, the other night I was on and I had to quickly log off. We had two possums run into the chicken coop. And they were killing
our
chickens.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Wow.
And it's like okay. Joe, it's like, okay.
Too bad me and Melody couldn't get that .22 rifle and get that bear, huh?
Just one of my things, Joe, is things come up and we have to give people their leeway on that. You know, they have a life and, you know, something might come up and,
yeah,
I guess,
but
you
Mike,
know,
what's one day a week to commit? You know, come on. What's one day a week at least? You know, I do the show twice a week to give everyone an opportunity. But what's one day a week? I got people already. See, I got people in the chat room that are following me, and they want to be heard. You know, where's the family at? Where's the friends at? You know, like you always said, tell a friend. But Mike, are you really telling a friend? You know, are they really friends? Or are they just people you talk to? That's a good question to ask. But Mike, before we get a little deeper into that, I put that out there because my aunt and I, when I was 13 years old, got chased by a black bear in the woods of Wisconsin. I went out to the woods after breakfast with my aunt and uncle. They had a dairy farm in the upper state of Wisconsin. My aunt and I, we came home from breakfast, okay, and there was a wolf out, and we thought that wolf was getting the chickens, killing our chickens. So I went out there with the rifle and shot it, and it was injured. I didn't want an animal to die suffering in the woods, so I went after it. Melody said, Mike's wife, Melody, said, go ahead and go out there and get it. And I went out there to go get it, and I hear rumbling there through the trees and sticks, and I look down about 20 yards off. I see a huge bear. I ran back to the house so fast, I almost dropped the rifle I was holding, which I had a .22 rifle. It had 32 shot banana clip in it, and I ran back to the house, and I told my aunt and uncle, and they didn't believe me. Melody didn't believe me. You know, come on, let's tell the truth. You guys didn't believe me. And Melody grabbed her camera and said, okay, let's go back out there and look and see if we can find this bear. And we went down the trail, her and I, and we're walking, and we hear it. Walking. And Melody's all excited. She got the camera ready. Sure enough, about 30, 40 yards off, there's that damn bear. He was a good 6-7 footer. Trotting towards us. Trotting, not charging, trotting. And my aunt, she turned pale white and ran faster than I could. And let me tell you, she ran, hopped over that barbed wire fence, ran back to the farm and told my uncle, he wasn't bullshitting. There's a bear out there. You know, and that was the best time of my life, let me tell you, you know. And Melody reminded me of that on my birthday, on my 16th birthday. And let me tell you, I'm glad we got away from that bear. We may not be here today telling this story. That thing was running after us, but we got away. I just wish I picked up the rifle and maybe hunted that bear and had a trophy, you know. And I know animal rights lovers don't want to hear that, but, you know, hey, it was a bear. It could have killed us. It could have mauled us to death, you know. I mean, you never know. I only had a .22 rifle, but let me tell you, that was the most exciting day that I had in the state of Wisconsin that day. And I know my aunt, she remembers that day, too. That bear looking at us, straight-eyed, running after us, chasing after us, and that's a damn true story. But go ahead, Mike.
Well, you know, take that situation where you and
you and Mel are out there, and all of a sudden, you know, you have to face danger right, you know, right in front of you. And you had a choice. If you didn't run, you know, I think the bear was protecting her cub. That's what I think she was doing.
I agree.
I think
the bear was chasing us away. You're right. I agree.
Right. As you said, the bear was trotting towards you. It wasn't at a full gait.
Oh, Mike, if it was at a full charge, it would have caught us. It would have caught me or her, and I only had a .22 on me. Now, granted, I had a banana clip on that .22 with 32 shots, but a .22 is not going to bring down a 7 or 8 foot black bear. Let me tell you that right now.
No, but, just like you said before, you never know what's going to happen today, tomorrow, next week, or whatever, and what I'm trying to say is, we had a disagreement, okay, fine, let's move on, and I think that's what a talk show is about, and it's just that I guess we shouldn't hold our grudges or our disagreements so close to our vest, this is a discussion, and that's the way it should stay.
Mm-hmm.
And
Amen.
I do believe that, we could have more family on here, but I do believe we could have, a lot more individual people also, like in the chat room. It's great it's great to have those many people in there. And, they're typing and giving their opinions and everything.
Oh, yeah. They're listening to the program. They're good people. They're good people, I mean, they may not be able to call in, or they're too shy to call in. But, hey, they're voicing their opinion. And, you see, I'm not like other blog talk shows, all right, where I'm going to tell people you're banned from my chat room because you're not agreeing with me. That's not what this show is about. This show is about what? The title of the show is Understanding the Times in Which We Live in Today. I want to hear from everybody. It doesn't matter if you disagree with me or not. I mean, we've had heated debates, Mike, haven't we? Do you remember when Tone was on the program? We've had a lot of heated debates. But I've never banned anyone from this program. Never. I've never done that. Because you know what? You have just as much as a right to talk as I do. And that's what this program is about. But go ahead, Mike. Finish it up, and I'm going to start wrapping it up. Go ahead.
Well, like I said before, I wish one of the older generations would come on and give us a little insight on how it was when they grew up, when they were 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. Did they ever see soup kitchens, or did they have to stand in line for a loaf of bread? I mean,
well, Mike, can I ask you a question? Mike, can I ask you a question? Interrupt you here with all due respect. I am posted on YouTube. I want to get a Holocaust survivor. And I'm asking my listeners here tonight, if you can, on any YouTube page or website, a Holocaust survivor, I am willing to allow to tell their story on this program, unedited, uninterrupted, and I'd really like to get a Holocaust survivor on this program to tell what they went through. And I posted it on YouTube a couple times, and of course you got these scumbags out there who are, screw the Jews, screw this, blah, blah, blah. And, I disagree with that. Jewish people are human beings, And if I can find a woman or a man who suffered during the World War II era, I am willing to give them the platform on this program to tell their story. And I want my friends and family to reach out, on Facebook, or on YouTube and say, hey, Understanding the Times in Which We Live in Today, blogtalkradio.com/Joseph Gibson. is willing to give you 90 minutes to tell your story. And that's what I want. And Mike, you brought up a great point. I'm glad you opened that window for me. But go ahead.
Well, I guess none of the older generation is going to call in. But, you know, I think it's a great topic, because if you took a vote of who has seen bad times, you know, and I'm not talking about not having enough money to go to the bar tonight. You know, I'm talking about not having enough money to pay your rent or pay your electric bill or even go grocery shopping, you know. At that moment, that's the worst time in their life. You know, if you came downstairs and opened your refrigerator and there was nothing in it and you didn't have the money to go out and shop or stop and get something for your family to eat, that would be a bad time in your life. You know, you'd try your best to supply for your family. And, you know, back when Betty was a kid, you know, they didn't waste food like they do today. You know, you go in the restaurant and you sit down and you get up and the people that were next to you left, and you know, there's two bites taken out of their sandwich and you know, three quarters of their drink is still there, and it's like, why did you even come in here? You know, you're right, Mike.
And I'm Barack Obama. Not to interrupt you, but people in the chat room are talking about Barack Obama. And Barack, and your opinion on Barack Obama, Mike, as President of the United States, first of all, we all know he was not a United States citizen to begin with. I mean, I'm sure we all agreed on that. And the way he served this country, he should be arrested for treason, okay? I don't know if anyone agrees with me or not, but Barack Obama should be arrested for treason. Obama did so much harm to this country, it is unheard of. Yeah, that's right. He was born in Kenya. He wasn't born in America. All right? And rang on the Trumpster. Trump set it straight. You're right, guys, in the chat room. You're absolutely right. Thank you.
I'm glad you're listening.
In the chat room. Go ahead, Bitbanker. Go ahead. You got a couple minutes because we got to wrap it up.
Is that a ring on the Trumpster? His B key doesn't work, so it's actually a ring on the Trumpster. Yeah, you know, I always say, you know, we don't know what we don't know. And if I happen to hang up for some reason right now, I'll call right back, because right now I have Russia trying to break into my computer. You know, Putin over there, he's been breaking into computers around here lately. I left my wallet and cell phone on the front of my hood this morning out in the street, and I went in the backyard to get something, and I come back and my wallet and phone was gone, and I really couldn't figure out why. Now, what I want to know is that, you know, there's no security on the internet. You know, there is none. Who in their right mind would put voting machines on the internet to begin with? I mean, we don't have to talk about public networks and private networks and NAT translation and TCP/IP headers and things like that. Who in their right mind would connect a voting machine to the internet and then complain that someone's trying to hack into it? Unless, of course, that's what they wanted. In any event, I'll let you get to Betty, and it was a good show tonight, and it's nice hearing Mike, and Happy New Year, everybody, and I'll see you next Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday will be the next show, that's for sure. But Elizabeth Rondo, go ahead, have your say.
Okay, I believe everything Michael says about the gold and everything. I'd rather have a bag of flour, and I believe everything Big Joe says.
Okay. All right. Well, Elizabeth, did you grow up during the Depression? Were you around during the Depression?
My mother and father did. But as far as food, they had to stand in line if they wanted a loaf of bread and everything. But they used
wow.
I know about it all because they would tell me, but we would never, and my mother and father would never waste a parcel of anything. We had to eat everything.
So your mother and father told you that they had to wait in line for bread.
Yes, oh yes.
Wow.
Oh,
wow.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yep.
And
well,
that goes to show
you
people.
They were your grandmother and grandfather.
Hey, people, that goes to show you how good you have it today. Imagine
yep, that's right.
going to the grocery store, having to wait in line for a
yep.
loaf of bread. Wow.
And I agree with Michael about this gold. I'd rather have a bag of flour. Go ahead and chew on your gold.
Well, Elizabeth Rondo, thank you so much for checking in tonight with us. And I'm asking everybody out there, if you've got friends on your Facebook, if you got people on your Twitter account, I want to get someone in here who grew up during the Depression or a Nazi Germany survivor from the Holocaust. That would be a show that would be so awesome and so touching to listen to a mother or father talk about how they grew up in the 1930s in Germany. Wow. That would be awesome. It would be so awesome. And,
hey, Joe,
yeah, go ahead.
We used to say, I remember we used to say this, if you're human, vote for Truman. If you're screwy, vote for Dewey.
Wow. There's a campaign slogan nobody's heard before.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, that was great. That's great. Hey, everybody, it was a good program tonight. I mean, these are the programs I like, and I like the panel. And that's what I was talking about, last week. We need a panel of people on here. I like the people in the chat room. You've done good. You're all contributors to the program. Everyone's voice is very, so much important. And Mike, before I go, you haven't called in. I want to give you the last words. And I want to say hello to Joe and Sebastian, Florida. Happy New Year to you. Deborah Lewis, hey, she's listening tonight. Happy New Year. Bridget Pruitt, of course, she's listening. Happy New Year. My friend in Nevada, he was listening, but he turned it off. So, but Happy New Year to him. There's a couple unknowns that I don't know. And if you want to press 1, you can contribute. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Now, I'll let you on the program. But if not, Mike, give a couple last words. I'm going to let you wrap it up tonight. How's that? Go ahead, Mike. Give, because it's 2017. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. Well, I'm glad Betty called in. I agree with her. It would be a good topic some night. Would be, what kind of Christmas did you have and why? Nowadays, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours are spent for Christmas on one person, and they're not happy about it. But what did Betty get for Christmas when she was 8 years old or 9 years old?
What did you get, Mike? What did you get?
Well, maybe a toy, but I mean,
you see,
not like today,
my mother made me my doll clothes, and she bought a doll, and that she made everything for it, and that's what we had for Christmas, and my brother had a train, and that was it.
Wow, you see that? Everything
and
was handmade.
Yeah. And we went to the movies. We got free movies for Christmas, and we got a stocking with an orange and a couple of nuts in it and a candy. And that
wow.
was it. That was really big for us.
Wow.
What a difference. If you gave
yep.
this generation a stocking with an orange and a nut and a candy, they'd
yeah.
look at you like, they'd look at you like, what are you, nuts?
yeah, I know. And people don't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't realize it, man. You know?
Yeah.
Very old school. fly catch typed in the chat room. I got clothes for Christmas. Very old school. That's right. Old school. You know, we need to get back. We need to get back to the old school. Because you know what? Change doesn't seem to be working for our country. And I didn't report a lot on the news tonight. Police being shot down across the country. Home invasions. We could go on forever about the crimes being committed. And you know what? Back during Elizabeth Rondo's time in the 1930s and 40s, you know, I mean, just think how peaceful it was back then. You know, you say she didn't get nothing for Christmas, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter. But, you know, it was about family. It was about friends. It was about love. You know?
Did you think Betty had to lock her door at night? I think my brother came out here one year to Wisconsin, and we were leaving to go somewhere, and he goes, "Well, aren't you gonna lock the house?" And I went, "For what?" You know? That was our way of living out here back then. You know, we didn't lock doors, you know, and
neither did we. That's right.
But nowadays,
isn't that
sad?
You know,
just
everyone deserves, and Mike, everyone should tell a story like that because that's what it's all about, man. And I'm glad we had a show like this tonight, you know, because we're talking, this is New Year's, and I opened up the show, hey, you know, it's New Year's, man. Wouldn't you like to have a new year like Elizabeth Rondo lived or Mike out in Wisconsin? You don't got to lock your doors, you know, your parents or like people in the chat room are typing, you know, they got clothes for Christmas. Clothes? Huh. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong at all. But you see, kids nowadays, though, they need those PlayStations. They got to have... You know, the BB gun, there's just no explaining how screwed up our culture is today. And that's what this show is about. And I ask all of you to help, you know, what's the title of the program, folks? Understanding the Times in Which We Live In Today. I'm asking all of you, whether you're in the chat room, whether or not you're calling in, that's what the program is about. And I hope all of you that were on the line tonight tune in on Thursday at 6 p.m. And other than that, I just want to say good night and happy new year to everybody. Have a blessed new year. I hope everything works out for everyone this year. I know some of us are going through hard times. Some of us may be expecting hard times. I don't know. But, you know, the program's open to all of you, always. Good night. God bless. Take care.
Happy New Year.
Good night.
Happy New Year,
everybody. Bye-bye.
councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three